As the Lord, good evening. Let's start our worship tonight with a prayer. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for all that you have what you enable us to achieve from morning till now. We bless your holy name, O God. Lord, we pray that as we come here tonight, to worship you, to serve you, that you speak to us, you guide us with your word, and you help us to understand your will. I pray, O God, for strength for all the workers, for all the members, the families. Pray for a fresh anointing upon each and every one of them, so that they will go on and they will testify your word and to declare your will to the people who are around them. We pray also, God, that you fill us once again, refill us once again with the Holy Spirit and give us the spiritual gifts that we need to serve you, O Lord. We pray for the protection of all the workers and the members of the church, families. I pray for our protection from coronavirus and its effects. I pray no one will be forced to take the vaccine. From all the brethren and workers who are not willing to take it, in the name of Jesus, we pray also, Lord, for provision, those who have lost their job, who have no income. Provide them job, those who are in distress, relieve them and save them, O God. Those among us persecuted and are pressurized, you help them, O God. Free them in the name of Jesus, we pray also, Lord, for the sick among us to be healed. Do miracles and touch the parts of the body that is sick and bring healing, O God. And we do pray, O Lord, that you will provide all our needs. Whatever we need as families, elders, members, pastors, and the church leaders, give them their needs, O God. Open your hands, O Lord, and provide for us so that we continue to serve you. We pray also, Lord, for a blessing upon a blessing for all the congregation that you had planted in UAE, in Oman, Kuwait, Philippines, India, Sri Lanka, Australia, America, also Sierra Leone, and Malawi, in all these places. Grant us favor from you and from men, from the governments, whatever things needed, logistic needs, you provide, O God. We come against the spirit of persecution, spirit of anti-evangelism, anti-ministry, we rebuke all in the name of Jesus. And we pray also, Lord, that you will continue to pray for the people around us, to pray for the governments in all these places, that you will bless them, O God, so that we too will be blessed as a church. Reveal yourself to them and do miracles so they will know that you are the true God and we are your servant. I pray for tonight worship and all the prayers, O God, and all the songs, and all the message, the giving, all the items of our worship. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and Amen. Let's all stand in His presence. Let us come to Him with a thankful heart, with a grateful heart for all what He had given and for all what we had received and for all what He's going to give us. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Lord, we continue to worship you, God. Continue to give you praise, not only by our mouth, but our lifestyle from our heart, committing ourselves to serve you and to live our lives to you. Lord, sustain us as we give you praise, as we adore you, Lord. We trust you, God, that you will empower us to go on and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Clap your hand to him. Come to you, Lord, you are our hiding place. You always fill our heart with good things. You inspire us to go forward and to serve you, trusting you, Lord, that you provide all things and you will protect us and you will open doors for us and opportunities, Lord, to go and save you. We bless you, O God, for this. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Never I am.
rejoice in the Lord. He is with you, He is with us. Put your all confidence on Him. Rely on His word and His instructions. Live according to them. The promise of God will come through in your life. Lord, we trust you, God. As we commit our lives unto you, Lord, you lead us safely in our journey for you. We bless you, God. We magnify, we adore you. We magnify your name. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let us be seated in God's presence. Let's collect our tithes and our offerings and our first fruit unto God. Lord, thank you for all your people who came to you, O God, who gave to you as due for you from tithes, offering, first fruits and vows. O God, I pray, look from heaven and bless your people, O God. Open the windows of heaven and bless them. And rebuke the devourer in their life. Don't allow pestilence to come in, O Lord, and take your blessing from them. I pray, Lord, also let all nations know that we are blessed by you. Multiply this amount of money, O God, and use them, Lord, for your glory. We thank you and praise you, God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We'll continue today speaking about how to take the right decision. You know, some people, they say that, why I should ask? Why should I ask the pastor of the church? You know, God is speaking to me. Many people, they speak these words. You know why? Because they don't know scriptures. In book of Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9, saying, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So here Joshua, one of the things that we can read about, he was a man who was full of the spirit of wisdom. But still, the instruction of God to him through Moses, that when he want to take a decision, serious decision, he need to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will ask the counsel of God through the Urim and the Thummim. Scriptures need to be fulfilled so that we will be able to take the right decision. Let's see now how Joshua took important decision when he was faced with a critical situation. Let's read Joshua chapter 9. It's a story about the Gibeonites. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this Jordan side, in the hills and in the valley and all the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, hear thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel, with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willingly, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took all sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was very dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua and to the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye would dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye, and from where come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were in you, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are becoming old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Now, till now from the story, we can understand that the Gibeonites, they came with a story, they cook a story, they make a lie because they know that the judgment of God is on them and they have to be annihilated by their Israelites. So they make some lies and they came to pretend that they are coming from far country. They wear cloth old and shoes cloth old, and the bread is molded, provision, their wine sack is old, as we have read, to give the proof that they are coming from old country. Our enemy, the devil, and those who work with him, they will try to deceive us, to make us agree with them, to approve their wickedness and their evil plans. And once they will come to deceive, we need to handle them properly. Here, what Joshua did on the other first, they hear the story well. That's good. And then the second thing that they did, also they check, they investigate their evidences. But the third thing that they did not do is, they did not ask from the mouth of God. They did not ask counsel of the Lord. Now, we may ask how they did not ask from the mouth of God. As the Lord commanded Moses that when Joshua take a decision, that he should not take the decision without asking Eleazar the priest. If we read the whole chapter of the book of Joshua, chapter 9, we don't read that Joshua called or he went to Eleazar the priest to ask counsel. And that's here the point. Most of the time, we hear story and people come with the troubles to the church to us because they have done things, they agree and they make a transaction without getting the advice from God through His church. That is very important step. God had put in His church teachers, apostles,
those who do apostle ministry, prophets, pastors, evangelists, they are responsible to give the advices to the people. Once you do the transaction without coming back to God in a proper channel, you will just bear the consequence of your sins. That's what happened here. Let's read verse 15. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they hear that they were their neighbors and that they dwell among them. Oh, after they sign, after they make the contract, they discover they had cheated them. Now what do we do? It's already done. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Shephira and Beeroth and Kiriath Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord of God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, now therefore we may not touch them. See, now there's a problem. When you make a decision about job, about buying house, land, car, moving a big amount of money, you come to the Lord. Not only prayer, reading the scriptures, open up the situation to the church, so that it will help you to take a right decision, asking the counsel of God. Because after you decide and the transaction done, all what you can do is to bear the consequences of your sin or your wrong decision. But all the princes said unto them, all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them, we'll even let them live, lest wrath be upon us, because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes and say then to them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water into all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have ye beguiled us? He said, why you cheat us? That's the point. We must know that people coming to beguile us, to deceive us, we must be aware of that. That's why we have scriptures. God put church on earth to guide the people. That's our job. You go and do your own. Why you beguile us, saying, we are very far from you where ye dwell among us. Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of food and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly taught that thy servant, how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. Now, every one of you as Joshua, leader for your family, leader for your personal life, but when you take decision, you must come to the church. Important decision. Here, what is the problem? We did not read that Joshua called Eleazar the priest. He did it. He did that alone. He decided by himself. Even in Joshua, he's even filled with the Holy Spirit. But scripture is scriptures. Verse 25, and now behold, we are in thine hand, as it seems good, and write unto thee to do unto us do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Jeshua made them that day hewers of food and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. Now, we need to understand why God had made such arrangement, like important decision for a person like Jeshua or any leader. He cannot take alone, but he must come to Eleazar, he must come to the leader of the church and open up the situation to decide for him. In the book of Exodus, you know, when we read about that important decision will be taken by the priest who wearing the ephod, the breastplate, who has the Urim and the Thummim. The question, what is the Urim and what is the Thummim? The scripture does not speak more than that. This Urim and Thummim, they are the stones that was on the ephod and on the breastplate, on the breastplate that is worn by the priest. Exodus chapter 39, let us read it. Let's read it from verse 6 to verse 14. 6 to 14. And they wrought in onyx stones enclosed in ouches of gold, graven as signets are graven with the names of the children of Israel. So here are these stones have the name of the children of Israel. There are 12 tribes. They are the names of the tribes on this onyx stone. And he put them on the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. So here, when the high priest will enter the most holy place, and when he wear the ephod and the breastplate to take a decision, he is carrying the 12 tribes of Israel in his heart. He present them to God. Verse 8, and he made the breastplate of cunning work, like the work of the ephod, of gold, blue and purple and scarlet, and fine twisted linen. It was 4 square. They made the breastplate double, a span was the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof, being doubled. And they set in it 4 rows of stones. There are 4 rows of stone. The first row was sardius, a tupas, and a carbuncle. This was the first row. And the second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were enclosed in ouches of gold in their enclosing, and the stone were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engraving of a signet, everyone with his name according to the 12 tribes. So 12 stones, every stone has one tribe. So when the high priest coming to take a decision, for example, for Jeshua, he will take the decision for Jeshua that will be go along that the 12 tribes' interests. Like the decision of Jeshua is not a personal decision, cannot be independent decision from the rest of the 12 tribes. In the New Testament, Apostle Paul say in the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, he say, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now I understand this, when those certain people would take decision without coming to the church, letting us know, it is selfishness, independence, and also caring only about themselves. They don't care about others. What he decides, does not care about the other, those who are remaining. These are the the sinful nature of man. That's why God put this system that the Bible tells us. And the thing here, when you take your independent decision alone, you are not aware, you are also harming yourselves. In the book of Leviticus chapter 8, speaking about the same, this Urim and Thummim, what is this? These are just the stones that have the names of the 12th tribe of the Israel. That you, when you take a decision, should not be independent of the interest of other people, that the plan of God should be integrated for each and every one of us to be in harmony. And Moses brought Aaron, his sons, and washed him with water. And he put upon him the coat, and guarded him with the girdle, and he clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod upon him, and he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod, and bound it unto the hem herewith. And he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. So when he put the Urim and Thummim in the breastplate, these are the 12 stones, no other things. So when the high priest will go to take a decision wearing the ephod and the breastplate, he's carrying in his heart before God the 12 tribes. The decision he will take for one man should be balanced with the interest of the rest according to the plan of God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19 to 21, and with this verse we'll be closing today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. Paul is speaking to the Philippians, he told them, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." He said, "I'm sending you Timotheus, because I cannot come, but when he will come, he will come to know about your situation, and when he will come to me, he will be a comfort to me, that I'll be comforted when I know about you." He say that he say, "For this mission I have no one but him." Why? He explained in verse 21, everyone seek his own interest, not that of Christ Jesus. That's why God's decision, God allowed it to pass through the church. Important God decision. Those who do their own, they are selfish. They have no interest in Christ's sake or the interest of Christ in their heart. They have put it aside. In addition, their selfishness, as the scripture tell us, that every man look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. They don't look on the things of others. They think only about their interest. They think only about their interest and not Christ's interest. Let's understand. Let's repent before God. This is one of the sins that is not recognized. Many lies and alibis. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. God speak to me. Okay, Joshua, here we have Joshua. Well, you are better than Joshua. A man filled with the wisdom, with the spirit of wisdom. Let's hear the point. And also believe one thing, whatever decision you take independent, that will harm you first. Let's repent. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. Thank you, Lord, for leading us through scriptures to do what is right and just. Let's repent. Let us renounce our sins, our shortcomings. Teach us, Lord, your ways. Those who are brethren here and those who are brethren in other places, have mercy on them to repent and come back to the right way, to confess their sins and accept the consequence of their wrongdoing. Thank you, God. We bless you, Jesus. Take your word and spread it. Oh God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, God. Let your hand be with us. Keep us from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.